the birth certificate. As soon as you are born, the birth certificate is altered. What they did with the name was they changed the uppercase, lowercase to capitalize on it. That capitalized version then became the slave. It became the collateral to pay for the interest to the bankers. What the government did was made us believe that that capitalized artificial name is in fact us. When it is not us, it is a corporate entity. It's a capitalized version that they need in order to work with. It's total deception. It's deception of the highest degree. The theft of the family name begins at birth and is carried throughout your entire life. You are a tax slave from birth until death. If you take a look at the birth certificate, if you take a look at the passport, if you take a look at the citizenship card, if you take a look at the driver's license, you will actually see on there that it says, this is not your property. It belongs to the government of Canada. Total deception. What they're doing is basically making you responsible for all of the acts and the statutes from admiralty jurisdiction in that corporate fiction name. You are conforming to the laws and the rules and the regulations that they put out for you, but when in fact, these particular laws, rules and regulations, statutes and man-made acts are from a ship. They're on the sea. We're living on land. If you say that you are the slave and that you allow them to create that joinder between the uppercase, lowercase name and the capitalized version, then what happens is, yeah, you become responsible and you do become the debtor. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Artificial person, some people call it the debtor, some people call it the fiction, some people call it the straw man, some people call it de facto. They've said you're responsible for that corporate entity. If you don't conform to their rules and their regulations, if you speed over the speeding limit, then you did something wrong because you didn't comply to Admiralty Maritime Jurisdiction laws. So therefore, you're the slave and you have to pay the tax bill on this particular contract that's issued to the capitalized name. You owe them. It's the debtor. The capitalized name is the debtor. I am the creditor, and I'm going to give my capitalized version, the entity that they do commerce with, I'm going to give it credit because I am the creditor. I'm not the debtor. You can define yourself differently as a natural free man or a natural free woman. And you get to say in a contract, offer acceptance, you get to say, I accept or I do not accept. We are creditors. We are life. We are the spirit and the soul walking on this earth. And it's time that we effect a change in a positive way for the future of our children. We have a right to live in our own homes. We have a right to be free and to talk as we want to talk. We have a right to free travel. It is us that the government needs to listen to, and they need to stop listening to the bankers and the gangsters. And we need to find some peace. We should operate from a higher dimension, and that higher dimension is called love. It's called light. Where are you from, Irene? I'm from the light.
Good evening. Welcome to another broadcast from Wild Hunt on TNS Live, at taking up the time at 9 o'clock that would normally be held by the financial frontline. It's been an interesting day for sure for a lot of us. I actually have a lot of music lined up for today and a 37-minute podcast. Which will explain to you how to defend yourself against psychopaths, and some other nice useful sound bites as well. I actually do have A lot of information also I'd like to run through with you with regard to the bigger New World Order picture. I was talking to a good friend early on today who was explaining to me about what exactly it is they're doing with regard to the outright murder across the northern part of Africa. However, I'd like to jump straight to my special guest. He's on hold now. Let me see. He's he's right there.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hello. Yeah, you are on air. This is Vincent Eastwood from New Zealand, giving us all the lighter side, thoughts on the lighter side of the ridiculous sick genocide that we see before us. So please do go ahead and throw in your questions. I'm going to assume that you can hear me. And thank you, Dr. Rock, for your I could hear everything. The music was great. Great effort. Thank you very much. Vincent, so we were talking.
I'll just kind of come on in and intro myself, eh?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we won't start off with the summer vacations and the how my family situation was earlier as a kid, but basically 3 years ago, I watched about 160 documentaries inside of 6 months. So, yeah. Could have warped my worldview really rapidly somewhat, and I couldn't be bothered working anymore because I felt like I was a freaking slave. Have you noticed how everybody who wears a shirt has a collar around their neck?
Yes.
And they've got cuffs around their wrists?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The whole thing just really perplexed me, and I was like, well, F this! Mm-hmm. So I took my $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers that I got as a bonus for about 45 days' work.
Uh-huh.
And then I got myself a little handycam and a little Mac computer.
Yeah.
And I just said, bugger it. If the media won't do their job, if they won't expose what's going on, then I'll do it. Okay? I've got no experience whatsoever. So I'm obviously way more qualified than all of these useless scumbaggery type of journalist filth that are out there who wouldn't understand the difference between an Ashkenazi Jew or a Semite, or anything for that matter,
no, really,
that relates to the world going on around us. And moreover, we all understand that there's so many people in our own nations, respective, wherever the hell you are, that are really dumbed down on purpose. And they're really nice people, is the interesting thing. They actually care about others. They go out of their way to give you directions if you're lost. They have conversations with you in the middle of the night in clubs, and you realize that, hey, all these people aren't, like, bad or anything. They're not going along with any of this per se. They're just totally unaware of it. Yeah, and because of the fact that the whole global conspiracy theory, and I believe conspiracy theory to be a good thing, without it, all you'd have is propaganda. I suppose my real thought was to become as powerful as you can to help people realize the truth. The only way that I saw that the world was going really, really to hell in a handbasket and the people that tell everybody else to think would be the media. Now, I think, therefore, that you need to create your own media. And it's precisely what I did. I've now got well over 300 videos. I've got videos with people like Amit Goswami, the quantum activist, and Dr. Paul Connett, the head of the Fluoride Action Network, and what's his name? Dr. Thomas Levy, the head of Vitamin C Can Cure, about intravenous vitamin C, basically being able to cure pretty much any disease or detoxify pretty much any toxin out of the body, including mercury. And I've put these up online. This is what happens. The media don't go to public meetings. They don't go to protests.
No,
and at the very least, if they do, they're not there to ask proper questions, to document properly what the protesters are protesting about. Yeah, if anything, That's basic. Those two words there, protesters and protesting, that's about the extent of the coverage that you'll get on any political issue in this country.
That's right, yeah. And
the Prime Minister was doing a big deal today with the TPPA, which is going to basically sell out the entire sovereignty of the entire country and make sure that every foreign company that comes in here will have dictatorial control over us through the world court system. And there were also protesters outside protesting. Another news!
Yeah.
The weather is really, really bad, isn't it? It's very freezing and chilly, and look how much 20-minute segments out of the 30 minutes of news that we're going to cover today that we're going to devote to the weather, etc., 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 and etc. It's the same freaking system. Freaking everywhere! Everybody knows precisely what I'm talking about. These people are retarded. They don't know what the hell is going on because they're looking at snowflakes and protest signs with no freaking reason to actually listen or think at all.
Yeah,
unless,
I know.
Of course, it's about how they look on camera and how nicely done their hair is.
It is true. Certainly the politicians down in London, the sneers and the sniggers and the smiles and the arrogance, that's right. They, you know, I'd just like to point out that in my knowledge, bare minimum, the last 5 years, there's been major activity with regard to peaceful revolt through paperwork and learning the knowledge with regard to what exactly a court is about within the commerce, what a contract is, and what difference there is between legislation and law. And you know, there's a great deal of fantastic work going on there, and I was just thinking that Skype has been very useful in passing through that information from one to another. And when you really consider New Zealand, Australia, Canada, America, United Kingdom, and Ireland just alone, there must be literally hundreds of thousands of people who aren't actually fully awake to the madness right now, you know, and finding their own solutions with regard to acting accordingly in front of the thug beasts that call themselves policemen, the policy officers. It sounds like they're very much the same in New Zealand as well, are they, Vinny? Yeah?
Well, that's why they call it a new world order, because what country do you think is exempt from that definition?
Yeah, no, really. There's no escape. Oh, unless apparently you go to Paraguay or Denver Airport or certain locations, you know, that have been long since planned for the elite to disappear like the snakes that they are into, but not before they've
completely... Yeah, yeah, I mean, seriously, Denver Airport is going to come apart like the swimming pool in Thunderbirds, and a great big spaceship is going to hurt. It's going to hurtle all these reptilian slime up into the heavens and what have you. You know, I say, you know, every element of the conspiracy, and there are a lot, I can assure you.
Yeah.
I'm not a researcher. What I do instead of researching is I talk to researchers and ask them questions. Yeah. What I do instead of reading a book is I talk to the author. What I do instead you know, listening to somebody's radio show, I'll talk to the radio show host on. You know, sure enough, I've become comfortable with being out of my league. I've become comfortable with being out of my depth, right? I like batting above my weight because it forces me to learn faster because my life depends on it.
Yeah, that's very good.
One of the realizations that I had about the whole New World Order system and the conspiracy and why you really have to be able to look at and listen to all of the points of views, even the incredibly crazy-sounding ones. They actually teach you a lot about how to spot more crazy stuff that comes along.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, you know, that's right. There's nothing more... I was observing the work of a psychopath. There's nothing more irritating to them is that they can actually be predictable and be predicted and know their moves. You know, they're actually robots thinking someone up there is running out of script and they're all running with it, including the judge today, who I don't know the name of at the moment, but a high court judge that extremely predictably was told by Ken Clark, no doubt, to keep Norman Scarth detained, an 85-year-old man detained in prison, because that would induce great anger and pain and annoyance amongst the people who know there is entirely no reasoning behind it whatsoever, although I will add to that later on in the show, I think. But to bring on the fear and the hate and the annoyance, that's a good, very good point, I think, Vinny, because maybe there are some people who haven't as yet really come clear as to the fact that they have to learn this. They have to start taking moves with regard to defending themselves, most likely under duress and under force brought to a court anywhere in the world. It's all one in the same as the judiciary. It clearly can't continue as it is at the moment. They probably believe it will, but the secret's out, and I think people are challenging it. Sorry, go on.
What we're really talking about here is a collapse in fiduciary responsibility. Do you know what the word fiduciary means?
Not off the top of my head.
Basically, in a nutshell, it's a person in a position of educated trust. For example, a doctor is somebody who people trust to give them right advice about their medical procedures and such, because the doctor's trained and he knows he's in a position of trust and he's out to look out for your best interests, allegedly, right?
Yes, yes.
Same with a lawyer. You get to a lawyer, you get legal advice, and he is there to help you, and you're paying him for his expertise, you know, and you basically have to trust him. Though that's called a fiduciary responsibility, when you're in the know and you're serving people that aren't in an honest manner.
Okay.
However,
that's right, yeah.
Today's, if you have a look at the doctors, the lawyers, and the politicians who are in fiduciary levels of responsibility, there's no trust. They simply leave out the trust and the fiduciary responsibility and only leave in the douche. These people are freaking out of their minds. They think that for some reason, if you can keep a scam running endlessly, that you'll amount enough power for yourselves or whatever. And these people are basically nuts, okay? Here's the only way that you can understand the system is to understand, first and foremost, that it's a crazy system.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
If you were to think of it as insane, it suddenly all makes sense.
Yeah.
Because people think of it as a sane system, right? They think, oh, well, you know, there couldn't be that many corrupt judges in New Zealand. Excuse me. Out of the 60-some-odd High Court judges in New Zealand, 40-some-odd of them are first cousins. And two of them in our Supreme Court are a husband and wife.
Fuck,
you know, and people go, oh, well, that just can't be. That's crazy. And I say, exactly. It is freaking crazy. And the only reason why you can't see it is because you're sane. Okay?
Yeah.
You're at a great disadvantage, because psychopathy, for some reason, people love it a lot. All of those wonderful aspects of a psychopath, like having a fake smile, talking about nothing, having short relationships, unparalleled levels of scumbaggery. These are the aspects which people find entertaining and lush with the plumage of the parakeet of the jungle of the New World Order. You know, people are scum. Under no circumstances should you trust a psychopath, because they never, ever will be trustworthy. Okay?
No.
They're not worthy of your trust. They are the douche and fiduciary. Here's the problem. That is what people need to understand, is that the system is not there to help you. It is not there to save you. When your children get kidnapped by child services or whatever, and you go to the cop to get some help because they took your child without any legal reason, you could think that the cop would help you. No, the cop is in on the scam.
Yeah.
And when you go to the judge and you think, oh, well, I'll be able to sort this out in court. No, the judge is in on the scam. They work it in a ring so that they can kidnap your children and sell them off to other people in your community to screw them over. Okay?
That is the insanity of it.
And it makes total sense to me, because I've long since gone mad, apparently.
You've got to look on
the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you will go freaking nuts.
It's pure evil. It's sick. It's really pure evil, I know. I know you're right about what you just said. Unfortunately, throughout the UK, a lot of people are seeing this. And to be damned to have any kind of recording equipment, either video or audio, within the court setting, because basically they're all liars and thieves and pirates. And just to point out before we go on as well, the words duty of care assigns itself within the UCC to legislation, to the person. It's assigned to the person, to the dead piece of person. So, like you were pointing out, Vinny, these douchebags, they believe that they have sanity. They're perfectly normal people. And they've spent like 30 years of their lives looking to speak with dead people and then wearing a wig tell you about your sanity in a room that no one else would dare speak out about. And it's all enclosed, if you like. That is their job. That's what they do to avoid liability on money. It's all based on money.
Well, here's an interesting point. I try to avoid liability with what I say as well. And that's why I try to make myself appear bonkers. Because basically, I don't want to be claiming to have any credibility. That way, if somebody claims that I've lost credibility, then they are the ones that have lost credibility because they didn't do their research. That I have absolutely none, okay? Let me explain this.
Okay.
I'm not a researcher. I'm not a documenter or whatever. What I do is I just go out and I document these people who are doing the actions, who are there or whatever, and I agitate. I get on the megaphone and I say that Tony Blair is an oily, filthy scumbag, and for $350 a suit, you can shake you can shake the hand of this oily, filthy scumbag too, etc., etc., etc. Now, I'm just trying to inject a little bit of comedy, because if you want to be serious about conspiracy theories, there is a myriad of different radio shows that you can be listening to, okay?
Yeah.
If you, however, have already figured out the truth and you're finding it really hard, if your family's on your back all the time, if you find your job just that much more difficult because you know that your boss is a psychopath and you know that if you do anything about it, you'll get fired. If you know that you're trapped, you need to find some kind of way out. And I feel that comedy and laughing about these sorts of things, even though I completely understand and from a very mature level, these things are absolutely unfunny. And there are some people just will not, under any circumstances, take these things as a joke. And those are the kind of people who get all reactionary and angry and abuse people in chat rooms and YouTube comments and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're basically, they become toxic individuals because their head gets full with all this knowledge of psychopathy. The longer you're exposed to this kind of thinking, the more it rubs off on you. And as Mark Twain said, humor is the universe's defense against or something.
I totally do. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And also in that, there are some tremendous hosts on TNS. I think people are actually very fully aware that this negativity pulls on the dark energy, keeping you in constant fear and worry about a whole different range of, rabbit holes that I'd like to talk about. But it's not really productive, is it? I saw a video of a friend of mine who was grounded, taken down by a security in a big shopping center in Birmingham in England. And he was basically peacefully making a protest, basically trying to wake people up. And he's a lovely individual. And when he was on the ground, he was still smiling because I know him. I know his approach too. And he's very positive. And he's not vindictive in any way, although the thugs that took him down, including the police that were caught on the video as well, didn't look very happy at all. They take it all very seriously. And what they're taking seriously is that they've been given a carte blanche, really. The ego trip is based on, as it turns out, Corpus Juris was sneaked in overturning habeas corpus, it seems. EU legislation no one asked for. To introduce the fact that you can be accosted and kidnapped and kept for up to 9 months, actually, with entirely no evidence whatsoever. They're pleasing.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I don't know what everybody's complaining about. I just love being a slave. You know, I get to drink as much alcohol as I can afford. I get to smoke as many cigarettes as I can burn. I get to, you know, walk around in the streets at night and get accosted by men with Masonic checkers on their uniforms. It's great. You know,
I
get to do the little slave dance and dance the apocalypto all night long.
I know. God, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun, actually. That's really good.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the thing. You've got to have one rule on my show is to have fun, okay? Because if you're having fun, the audience is having fun. And quite frankly, who wants to tune into a radio station or a radio show that isn't actually fun to listen to? Okay? You've got to have a little bit of lightheartedness in there, as well as revealing sensitive and destructive information. And I believe that the calcified masses with their pineal glands so caked with the fluoride resin have few options left. But to turn to comedy in the face of adversity, this is why Bill Hicks and George Carlin were tremendously popular before they died.
Because
they were telling the truth.
That's
right. And they were making people laugh their asses off at it.
That's right, yeah.
Okay? This is how you get through. When you introduce an emotion into an intellectual concept, your brain remembers it in two places, on both the left side and the right side of the brain. Uh-huh. And the stronger the emotional connection you have with a concept, the more likely you are to remember it in graphic, vivid detail. Have you ever been in a car crash? Have you ever been assaulted or punched by somebody before? You remember every single split second because a huge emotion of fear or anger or trepidation wells up in you. And the same is true when you feel either love or laughter or fun. It's only these psychopaths that have turned them into a bad word because everybody who is an activist and a conspiracy theorist poses a threat to them. So how do you counter that? Oh, that's right. We've got that old-fashioned propaganda mechanism called repetition. Let's just repeat conspiracy theory in a bad light 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Every night. And sure enough, everybody will start believing it. You know, it's like a very good Bolesian type of propaganda. Quite frankly, I love the process of propaganda, how you can manipulate minds. I used to be a telesalesman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know anybody else out there who's been a telesalesman before, but there's two things that you learn how to do. Number one is take verbal abuse. Number two is to manipulate people by knowing what they're going to say, what they're going to think before they do, because you've done it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I developed a innate skill at manipulating people. Okay, just like somebody can manipulate a person to jump off a bridge or to break up with their girlfriend or whatever for their own ends, I manipulated people into trusting me so that I could actually save them money on their phone bills. Okay, using the same psychopathic methodologies that people use for evil, I was capable of turning it into good. However, I noticed that all these other people around me who were performing at similar levels to me weren't doing it for the same reasons. I did it because I cared about people and I hated foreign companies ripping off my countrymen with ridiculous phone charge rates and all this other kind of stuff that was on there. And that was my motivation, was to destroy foreign companies who were ripping off my people. I was actually doing my job as a patriot rather than as an employee. And they didn't like that.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
Really.
I wrote a 7-page essay about what their facilities were like and suggested numbers of different improvements in the training programs and computer programs and all these other things. I really did my research and I've been working there a long time.
You made the mistake of using your initiative.
To think that the people in the levels of authority above you actually gave a flying F about me and all the other people in the company and all the other people in the country as I did. okay? Mm. I made that mistake because I didn't know at the time that the world was run by psychopaths. I didn't know at the time that virtually the only way to get yourself to the head of a ridiculously massive company that's successful is to screw over everybody that stands in your way and usurp their positions, okay? Yeah. I didn't know that that was how the business realm worked. So I naively wrote out a whole bunch of ways to make everybody in the company's life better, make the company run more efficient, and basically save everybody copious quantities of grief during their work time increase productivity. That was my goal. And you know what happened to me? A couple of days later, after the meeting was cut in half and unfinished, I inquired about what was going on with my concerns or whatever. Was anything going to be done about it? And they said, "Oh well, as far as we're concerned, the issue is closed." And then I got invited next door from the building to a cafe to talk with the boss and that kind of thing. Slaps a piece of paper down in front of me. He says, "Sign it." And I say, "What am I signing?" Mm. He says, "We'll pay you 6 weeks' wages to leave right now in 5 minutes."
Wow. Really?
And I said, "Well, that's actually that's enough money to live a summer off. I haven't had a summer holiday in quite some time. Thank you very much." All I had to do was write a 7-page essay, yeah. And I got 6 weeks of money because part of the other reason is I can't tell you what company it is because they may have signed non-disclosure and not tell people these things that I know. And incidentally, I'd been a big fan of Fight Club, the movie at the time.
Oh, yeah. Nice one. Yeah, I wonder how many people have I seen that one. Yeah.
So. And again, I'd inadvertently manipulated my employers by trying to do the right thing. So the manipulation had been bred into me.
Well, you know, on that, my knowledge is that most certainly since 1997, the moment Tony Blair got into government in the UK, not just in companies, civil service, all councils, any bank, any job whatsoever, but actually within the government, the corporate government itself, is that you will do as you're told, don't rock the boat, or you'll lose your job. And in some cases, like Robin Cook, he lost his life as well, because he was rocking the boat. I mean, that's the kind of bully tactics that you were talking of. You know, it is very serious because psychopaths are in charge of the asylum, and we know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this is why the new political class is interchangeable with the new psychologically castrated class, all right? Basically, everybody who's doped up on meds and in psychiatric institutions who thinks that, you know, there's people crocheting things that aren't there are actually on the same wavelength as these people in Parliament. So I've devised a new parliamentary scheme. It's called the Psychiatric Parliamentary Exchange Program. And because you allow the politicians to take a working holiday inside the psychiatric institutions to be doped up by half a dozen extremely dangerous psychotropic drugs for a period of some months or something like that, and then send them back to Parliament all zonked out, paranoid and crazy, and they'll probably do their job better than when they actually were just, you know, believing that they were sane.
Yeah, that's true.
If you told all these politicians who are totally crazy and psychopathic that, hey, you are crazy, you are psychopathic, this is what we do to crazy people in our society. We lock them up, we pay Big Pharma huge amounts of money, and we pay the psychiatrist huge amounts of commission, including trips to Fiji. Incidentally, as got exposed here in New Zealand recently. To dope you right the F out, keep you away from phones so you can't call for help, and if you do get to, by some miracle, allowed to have a phone call and, you know, talk to your loved ones or your friends or something like that to retain some form of sanity and contact with the outside world,
that's right, they
monitor those phone calls to make sure you don't tell anybody what these people are doing to you.
Are actually doing. That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
This is a psychopathic protection racket. The police is a psychopathic protection racket. In New Zealand, we have the Independent Police Investigation Authority. Now, get this. It's independent from the police. And yeah, in New Zealand, there's only one police. It's called the New Zealand Police. There's no factions. There's no city police or whatever like that. Or no counties, no state police, blah, 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 blah. It's one police force. New Zealand Police.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And guess who is in charge of investigating every single police complaint? The New Zealand Police.
Oh, really? At least that's less complex. Here they've got...
And you know what's funny? Is that people find it really strange. Like, how come my complaints aren't being followed up? How come these sergeants with all the Masonic connections aren't being arrested?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, you effing idiot, man. Don't you know who you're dealing with?
Yeah. it's structured a little more complex than that, because the Matrix has, for the sake of creating civil servants' jobs and more of a smoke and mirrors, there's a number of different organisations that supposedly watch over the police in the UK. Quite remarkably, people are finding that murder is okay for them to undertake. Basically, people dying in their custodies won't be followed up, and there'll be no one reprimand, maybe at best. In the UK, that is, anyway. You know, that's a point of fact. It's the case. There's a number of different organisations that apparently oversee the police, but everyone's getting paid. So, you know, no one rocks the boat. Everyone gets paid. Keeps everything going on nicely, if you know what I mean. Mafia, really.
Well, that reminds me of the interview I did with G. Edward Griffin, and I named it How Money Controls You. And essentially, it's like this. The essence of magic is being able to create something out of nothing. So therefore, the money supply system, they do create money out of nothing all the time. Yeah. They create it based on your signature. They create it based on made-up government bonds. Yeah. They create it based on your birth certificate. They got all these things that they require you in order to make this money up. Okay?
Yeah.
And because we're all dumbed down and willing slaves and what have you, and we keep paying our taxes, and we go to protests, and we shake banners, and we yell on megaphones, and we vote against people that we don't like.
Yeah.
When the reality is, ultimately, none of that will work. Okay?
That's right.
How much has protesting really changed what's going on? I mean, sure, there've been a few minor adjustments in society. For example, huge civil rights protests in the United States got it desegregated to a certain extent. Okay, and there's so many other things that have happened that people have been drawing attention to with huge protests and what have you. But ultimately, has the system changed any? No.
Despite
the fact that there were civil rights movements in the United States, there is still slavery today.
Yeah.
Like I said in the start of the interview, everybody's still wearing collars around their necks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And cuffs around their wrists. And they admire each other for how nice and coloured and expensive each other's collars are. That's how right, beautiful. Yeah. Well, look at those cuffs that you've got around your wrist. Man, they must have cost a bundle. I know. Isn't it grand? Aren't I somebody to be looked up to and admired because I've got a collar around my neck and cuffs around my wrists? These people are all slaves. They don't know what's going on either. Okay? The educated people are the dumbest people I've ever met. Because they don't get taught how to think. They only get taught information that they have to repeat.
You know, I can't think of his name at the moment. He's the new Batman, actually. He was the actor. He's a great British actor. He's the new Batman. I can't remember his name. But he's a tremendous actor, very powerful, actually, very versatile. And there was a movie he made called, I think it was called American Psycho. And it was about him being an extremely competitive businessman. And it was really something original. It was really amazing what he was doing that. And he was a killer, a psycho in it. But it was like where he's competing with the other businessmen and giving out his cards, and his thoughts are sort of spoken out on screen and stuff. And he's sweating, and his card is better than the other guy's card, and how it's made and stuff. And I've worked in those circles as well in my life. in the suited area selling insurance at one time.
Okay,
that's
this
good.
Is the topsy-turvy world that we've come to expect, and we get that all the way from kindergarten because the currency's been devalued, and because of the women's lib movement that was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation, so that they could get two sources of income to tax out of each household now, and then give them an excuse to devalue the currency, get the women out of the house and get the children away from their parents because they can't even afford to pay the rent without going to work and paying for childcare and taking their children out of that that nurturing environment and allow them to be exposed to other kids which they haven't been taught how to deal with yet, and they often go through a lot of abuse and bullying, and every kid is kind of a bit scared by the first day of school, you know, unless their parents have gotten them really well adjusted or what have you. But daycare is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most horrifying things that you have to force parents into. And then when their kids start acting up in their teenage years, you blame them for being bad parents.
Yeah, no, really. Thank God I know exactly. It's quality time
trapped,
completely lost, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't like the feeling of being trapped, you know. I'm not like a wild animal or nothing like that. But I certainly can be, and I've been known to yell and scream and throw things and what have you. But I don't do that to people who don't deserve it. Okay, because when you look at society and you want to create a better one, you don't do it by opposing the current system. You do it by creating one that makes the existing one obsolete, as some old wise guy said. This is what I feel needs to be the purpose of everybody's life, is to live their life according to their own truth. Try not to do any harm to anybody else and just eke out a living trying to make this world a better place. Okay, to whatever end.
I was raised that way, and you take responsibility for your own actions, both voice and physical, whatever situation you get yourself into. Others would normally help as a normal reaction. And that is sovereignty. I mean, that is normal, that's common sense. That is common sense is what's been knocked out. You can do your own thinking and mainly cause others no harm. I mean, but I'm surrounded by a massive amount of wonderful people who know that perfectly well, you know.
Well, this is why people kind of think that common sense is still common. I'm sorry, now rarer than gold.
Yeah,
here's the point about that. There's 6 billion plus people on this planet. Why, under any circumstances, would you continue to keep hanging around people who don't inspire you, don't encourage you, don't help you to learn anything, and don't mentor you? Okay, these people are a waste of your freaking life. Not a waste of your time, but a waste of your life. Because usually what happens is people will develop these relationships and they keep those relationships going simply because the relationship has kept going. Okay, you don't really learn anything from these people. You don't really get helped out by them. They don't really care about you. The only thing they are is really a drinking buddy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Like when I was a young young lad, and the island where I lived that I called my friends.
Yeah,
and not one of those people is my friend today. For this very reason, they didn't care. They really didn't care, about me. I've experienced a lot of really nasty stuff like that, you know, and some of it not intentional. Like, for example, I remember when I was head of the prom committee, I came up with the concept for the prom. It was the snowball. Helped them get together the decorations, organize the whole thing, did the playlist, and organize the stereo equipment to be brought in, you know, just all that kind of thing. Yeah. And the weekend after the prom, we had school assembly on Monday, and the seventh form, which is, you know, the last class and before you, like, get out of school and then go to the workforce and become a slave. The entire class had helped out, you know, most of which to a very minuscule rate, with organizing and building and helping out the prom. You know, it really was a team effort. And the principal wanted to acknowledge everybody individually by reading out their names and asking them to stand up where they were on the bleachers, just so everybody could acknowledge them. There were 31 people in the class, and 30 names were called. I was not one of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing makes you feel undervalued, right? And you become angry that, hey, people don't recognize me. This is what people forget, is that if somebody does something nice for you, effing recognize them.
Oh, man.
Okay?
Appreciate them. Exactly. I totally agree with you. And that was automatic with me. It's just automatic. My father was a primary school head teacher, and I saw that when I was teaching English as a foreign language in loads of countries around the world, that was very much my approach. And I went for an interview for an absolute crap amount of money in the UK a long while back, and a part of it was just to observe the teachers, two female teachers at work, with very young girls around about the age of 8 or so. And I could see that they would spend all their day picking out certain people who, you know, they weren't problematic. They were showing signs of... you know, I have one that can see. And the two women basically were bullying this girl and bringing down her confidence and telling her what was appropriate and what was inappropriate and breaking her down, basically, psychologically. And that is the work of Demos and Common Purpose in schools as an engineering program, of which Ponman, another host on TNS, was quite clearly mentioning and stating. And it is a point of fact, and it is extremely disappointing and sick and horrible, because I don't know if the parents know the half of really what's going on in schools. I think they do, listening to TNS, but I just wanted to point that out, because I think you're right. Encouragement, especially when you're young, and inspiration. You mentioned that before. To be around people who do genuinely inspire you. What else are children going to do? They have to trust what you're telling them. Yeah? And they're being deceived and lied to. Certainly at the top end here, as adults now, we can see this. We're wide awake. I happen to know quite a few blokes here who have children, and thank God they are not being lied to. They're being raised very well in a very mature, honest fashion. Yeah.
This is an important concept. Like, I'm a tinker, as the Irish say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a tinker.
Yeah.
And I always come up with new thoughts and concepts and ideas, a lot of which are very silly and just being done for a joke. But some of them are very serious, and I'm very experimental. For example, you talked about kids and education and what have you. I wanted to actually have a conspiracy theory school. Okay, so that you can send your kids there, okay, and they learn the alphabet, they learn how to read, but they learn real history.
Yes,
they learn how the government lies. They learn how intelligence agencies work.
Yeah,
they learn how the police operate. They learn about the free man arguments. They learn about straw man. They learn about alternative health care. They learn about high-dose intravenous vitamin C. They learn about Google's tracking programs.
Oh,
they talk about the BPA and all the plastic bottles. Because as far as I'm concerned, when a child is being educated for the world, what they need to be educated in specifically is to identify threats. If a child is unable and not taught from a young age to be able to notice, distinguish, and perceive patterns and threats, predators, etc., they won't survive. And if they do survive, certainly won't be a high quality of life, will it? Because they'll forever be the victim.
That's right. Of course, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, there's a program in place now, because the point is, well, they're being told incorrectly who the predators are, I guess. It's all programmed in engineering within schools. You made sense now. That's right, and takes away their responsibility and their protection. I mean, I don't know, those programs weren't in place when I was going to school anyway. Listen, I was wondering if you wanted a cup of tea, maybe get something to smoke there and give the listeners a little rest to get some music on. I'll come right back. Yeah. Would that be Do you want 2.5 minutes?
Well,
or?
Sure. I mean,
yeah, and
we could just keep going if. But sounds like you need to take a WikiLeak.
Well, yeah, no, I just thought it's a big chunk, and I do want to come back and talk with you about other things, maybe like the Rugby World Cup, say, and other things that might be going on down under. It'd be well interesting. There's loads I'd like to just throw across to you at the moment. Yeah. That's much
goody.
Appreciated. Yeah?
If there's one thing New Zealanders can't talk about enough right now, it's the Rugby World Cup.
I know. But yeah, no, I need a cup of tea. I'm sure the listeners are very much enjoying this. I'll take that under presumption and assumption that they absolutely bloody are. So there you go. Do you mind? So if I take, let me see, 5.5 minutes. Is that too long or 2.5 minutes?
Sure, five and a half.
It's a bit of Celtic tune there.
Let's do it. We're going to break, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, and check you. Us out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y.
Yeah.
Because it's the most important question. And also my other show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, is on American Freedom Radio. So it's AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Yeah.
And I've got people who are hosting it for me at the moment, so cool. Oh, I'm basically on holiday, and I just decided to pop in here with on the Wild Hunt show because, hey, it's freaking awesome to be invited on people's shows, and they always wind up being very lovely.
I really appreciate it. I really do. Yeah. Let's see if this works. How about that? Okay, enough clapping. I'll see you on the flip side, about 5.5 minutes, okay? Thank you. Thank you. was lovely. That's that was actually Enigma, Celtic Dream. We were talking earlier on, actually, off. I guess you could get straight into it because you had your observations are very good with regard to the media blitz, if you like. I must say, I haven't actually seen anything on the World Cup. I don't really put the TV on much here. The World Cup of what?
Rugby.
Oh, rugby union. The great rugby union. Yeah, great. The All Blacks are very good. They always were. Tank crew, they really are. Are they looking good this year? Or do you care?
Allegedly. also, all the girls tell me, because there's been a surge in female interest in rugby. And it coincided with a shortening of the average length of rugby shorts.
There you go. Yeah, they thought that one out, didn't they?
Of the average thread of rugby jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
They're sexualizing these sports to get the girls interested. And my goodness, do they get interested indeed. I remember when I was in high school, right, and co-ed school, you know, girls in the class of boys, and these rugby players, I think it was the All Blacks or the Auckland Blues or some other description of brainwashed, fluoride-fed, ground grass eating kind of people, you know, and they were outside playing in the field next to the classroom, and you could not, with a crowbar, get the girls away from the window.
No,
all right,
yeah. Yeah, well, you
that's
know
really
the funny
what it's become, and here's the great thing about sporting events is it gives you the excuse to tyrannically take over a country. Here's what we've had in order to facilitate the Rugby World Cup. Firstly, we had a democratically elected council called ECANS, Environment Canterbury, where the Christchurch earthquake happened. They're the ones in charge of that particular region, right? A year before the Christchurch earthquake, that democratically elected council was thrown out, and the government appointed their own dictatorial control in a woman named Dame Margaret Baisley, who's been renamed from Francis Baisley or something like that, according to Greg Hallett, and was some description of drug trafficker back in the day under the Mr. Asia drug program. And what they did is they gave the then consent to all of the farmers that had been wanting to empty the water table to fertilize all their crops and stuff like that, so that everybody else would basically, you know, wouldn't have access to water now. And the democratically elected council said, no, we don't want any of that. So, okay, go, great. So they threw them out, put in a dictator, and then they started hurriedly facilitating all the infrastructure so that they could facilitate the next Rugby World Cup. Okay? Yeah. In Wellington, same thing happened. A very famous mall called Manners Mall, which you know, everybody was able to walk on. There were no cars allowed down it or what have you. It was a real central attraction to the city. And for the Rugby World Cup, however, they turned that incredibly narrow street into a bus lane. And amidst much protest from a man named Benjamin Easton, who said the buses were going to freaking kill people because it is not wide enough and there's not enough visibility and there's going to be people walking along the sides there all the time. And sure enough, as soon as they made the switch, in order to facilitate the transport routes from the Rugby World Cup and the airport and all of that kind of stuff, sure enough, basically somebody got hit by the buses every day. Every day.
Right.
Okay?
Really,
and that's great, isn't it? And then in Auckland, we had $28 billion worth of public assets in up to 9 different cities. Okay, collectively make up the Auckland region. 9 cities with democratically elected councils individually that had large amounts of assets. They had their own companies that ran the water and all of that kind of stuff. It got usurped by an act of parliament, illegally, mind you, against another act of parliament that says you have to, if you're going to amalgamate huge areas into big cities, that you have to have a binding poll for the ratepayers to see whether or not they want it. They ignored that rule, and then everybody was saying, oh, but we got our rights taken away from us. Let's have a referendum. And they ignored that. And now $28 billion of public assets is now in the close personal hands of a company called Auckland City Properties Limited. Okay?
Yeah.
And the boardroom where they hold the meetings for this new Auckland City Properties Limited is in a private boardroom. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where a guy who is at the head of a private company has his normal meetings instead of at the council chambers.
Right, yeah.
And when asked why they were having public meetings and council meetings in a private corporate boardroom, he says, well, it's just easier for me.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
yeah,
all of these $28 billion worth of public assets have been stripped, put into a new control model called a CCO, which is basically it privatizes the corporation and puts it under the control of an unelected, unaccountable, with no records, private company. And then, because the people own the infrastructure, we then pay them to run it. And they take all the profits that the company would have made that the people actually should get.
Yeah, totally. Now, can I just get in there?
One last thing here. I'm okay. Almost done explaining about the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
We also have a massive multinational corporation called Veolia, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with these guys. They do trash pickup and train services, yeah, bus services, and yes, all sorts of other services. They have now become the main contractor for all of Auckland. So let's kick out all of the tender. There's no tender whatsoever anymore now. And we've given all these transport things to Veolia, and now they run the city. Okay? And guess who's doing all the works and all the transport for the Rugby World Cup? Veolia! It's a corporate takeover by an act of parliament. The companies and the government are working together. Okay? The All Blacks are just great, aren't they?
Sorry to get back on. I class the government as a corporation. Most people here on TNS know that they are a business. They're in just business. That's it. I think it's important to understand there's no separation from commerce and business and government as such laying out legislation. It's just one and the same. It always has been. Well, I was going to say about the rugby, I came in about sort of mid-75 when the back row were all beer guts and beards, and they smacked each other in the face to get the ball, and it was all great. You know, it was a much slower game altogether. And now they've got gel in their hair and they've shaved. And indeed, a lot fitter, I suppose. It's certainly faster anyway, the game itself. But on that, and also just to throw in some thoughts on what you were saying about land propagation or the taking of land. What you were saying sounds ever so familiar to London, the whole area surrounding the Olympic Stadium, compulsory purchase orders put out there, land grab, no right or rule or anything, it was just take. And the motorway systems throughout Ireland, all stolen land from farmers, not by any consent, but by compulsory purchase order, now owned by a European consortium, a private company, of which people have to pay tolls on to drive, and which is totally controllable.
That just happened north of Auckland, and there's another tunnel plan for the central Auckland as well that's going to do exactly that. It's going to rip out 700 homes.
Oh,
700
my God.
Homes.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's shocking. It's not progress. There are stockholders and shareholders behind all of this, and they're looking to make great profit. Oh, and I don't know if you know Ian R. Crane, a great researcher called Ian R. Crane. He's got a website, Ian R. Crane. I went to one of his presentations here, and he's opening up the truth. He's letting people, he's trying to wake people up to the truth of the corporations and the connected takeover of total world dominance. And he mentioned that in Ireland there are three oil and gas fields, all of which contracts were signed with private companies, whereby they still talk about openly on RTE as if it's all very good. There's, you know, what their profits were on each given month. But what they don't tell you is that at no point will any Irish man or woman or child actually benefit from their profit making and their fracking actually for the oil. They're going to be destroying the land, and all that money is going out, you know. And if you have any good contacts, you might make yourself a quick £1 million, actually, or $2 million. I heard two figures on TV today, yeah, with regard to it being perfectly lawful, not just to capture poor Colonel Gaddafi, but to deliver him dead is perfectly okay as well, it seems.
Well, the authorities put the awful in lawful. That's what they're good at.
Awful.
I suppose, that's basically what it really is. They make up all these laws
In reality, you only need two laws overall. Mm-hmm. Don't kill nobody. Don't damage no shit. Mm-hmm. And then it's all G unit.
Cause no injury. It? That's right. Yeah.
I mean, who cares? And, you know, in terms of New Zealand, you know, a lot of people talk about how we've got copious quantities in sheep. Apparently there's 40 sheep to the person in New Zealand.
That,
And I always think of it as more just kind of being 41 times as many sheep, you know? That way everything's all good.
Yeah, right.
Help!
Hey, listen, I've travelled a lot and I could never define the difference between an accent, New Zealand or Australian. I always was trying to be gracious and they would sort of just, you know, tell me. But
okay.
What was your definition?
You can expose an Australian accent.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you pass me that pen? Now, an Australian accent, the E will not be pronounced on the pen. Okay. And then you go, pass me that pin. And the I will not be pronounced. They kind of become one.
One, yeah.
Like, pass me the pen. You don't know what they're asking for. That's how you identify an Australian accent. Or the other one is, get them to count to six. If they do not pronounce the word six, and instead they say six.
Okay. All right? Yeah.
That's why Australians aren't terribly good at math, because they're a bit tired after six.
And what's I don't know if it's if you want to tell the joke with regard to a comparison of Australia.
There's a number of Australian jokes. You know, one of them is why do seagulls fly upside down over Australia? Because it's not worth shitting on.
No.
And the one that you're referring to was about Australian culture and anybody who's been there, you know, that is very rich, of course. And what's the difference between cheese and Australians?
I don't know.
If you leave cheese in the desert for 200 years, it develops culture.
I hope that has made some people smile and not upset them too much anyway. That's good. Thanks for that. And listen, on that as well.
No, don't worry, man. What the Australians hit back with, like our argument is that Australia is just straight crap, and their argument is that New Zealanders are sheep shaggers. And I happen to agree with the Australians. Absolutely, it's by law in New Zealand at the age of 15, each male as he's coming into age. Gets given his own sheep to shag, you know, a little lamb or whatever. And after about 6 months, when it's filled up with your man nougat, we then ship them to Australia and those bastards eat them.
Oh, God, no. Okay, enough already. Listen, what is it in the fluoride? What is it in the water that creates it? The fluoride over there clearly isn't working because we are at TNS fortunate enough to have, I know you haven't, you don't know the name, but Santos Bonacci from Melbourne, who's a tremendous gentleman who knows all about, who's telling us about the truth on the history of the Vatican and how that's linked into the courts of commerce, the judiciary system as a whole, and the mind control of the Christian religion, actually, as well, in great detail. It's a tremendous talk. And he actually casually, on his first show, brought in Max Eigen, was it? And I know of Dean Clifford as well. I think they're all Aussies, aren't they?
Oh, bugger if I know.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, it's tremendous. It's great work being done there. And what was that thing that you'd mentioned in the middle of Australia? Because I hadn't known that, and I think some people might be interested to hear that on TNS.
Oh, Pine Gap.
What is that?
Yeah, if you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and you go to the featured interviews page, it's just up there at the top with all the other assorted links. Mm-hmm. You can scroll down and you can see a guy named Leonce Keeley, L-E-O-N-C-E, Leonce Keeley. And basically this dude was working at a facility in the middle of Australia, middle of the desert, middle of nowhere, that was so deep underground and so massive and had such a huge, clear area. It's basically the Australian version of Area 51 with all that entails. He was in rooms so big, right. Big, huge, hardcore, cooled computers, you know, with all the trimmings, you know. It's kind of like one of those things that you see in those incredible Hollywood movies where they come into this real secret giant underground government facility or whatever. Where do you think the movies get the ideas from? Okay?
Yeah, I know.
Why do you think that they have so many military vehicles in all the films? It's because they get them on loan from the military in exchange for a little bit of editorial control.
That's okay? Right. Yeah.
That's what's going on here, man. They're telling you what they're doing, and they tell it in a fictional context. So that way, if anybody actually starts talking about it, oh, you've been watching too many movies. And I say, no, the movie makers have been watching too much reality.
I have had a conversation with a friend today, pretty well. He said exactly what you just said. It's in your face, the immense amount of Hollywood, subtles, dropping in.
Subliminal.
Yes, that's it. Subliminal messages, yeah, you know. And on that, Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond Illuminati movie, there's one there where the Carver News Network, this crazy man sort of is in such a position like Murdoch to actually create, if you recall that, he can get that one out in ahead of thing. He's completely mad. And I mentioned to you that I'd noticed, Cowboys and Aliens is now coming out from Hollywood, and I wanted to ask you if you have any input with regard to a great deal of the information and or the misinformation on the internet at the moment, because it's certainly not really, well, it's coming out in small parts on national news networks, but with regard to some kind of disclosure with regard to sort of planetary aspects. I've given it a lot of thought, I've gone into it in some detail, and after about 3 days I've come to realize that, having talked with my colleagues as well, that you need not really worry about. There's nothing much you can. You know, you've been lied to on a massive scale on other matters. What's going on the ground isn't going to stop. People are getting murdered by drone aircraft and bombs every single day right now. And there's not much we can do in the knowing whether it's true or not true.
You will think about sex something like 15,000 times per day. It's like about 7 times a minute or something along those lines.
Fair
and so
enough, yeah.
We can't multitask, really. But it's just that one of those tasks has to be to think about sex, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Other than that, you can only really focus on doing one thing. I'm kind of conveniently a bit scatterbrained, so I'm doing all sorts of different things. You know, I'm going out to protest. I'm laying on the megaphone. I'm giving speeches. I'm going on radio programs. I've got my own radio show. I'm producing radio. I'm doing a TV show. It's I'm
tremendous.
Uploading YouTube videos that I'm editing from the protests and videos of the radio shows and what have you, and making documentaries for people. You know, when they give a presentation with a slideshow, I edit in the slideshow so that it kind of looks or semi-professional.
Good,
I make DVDs for them, and basically anything that a whole massive mainstream media organization can do, we can now do with a home computer. And I've decided that I'm past
great.
The point of trying to figure out only one thing to do. I figured that media is one of the areas that I wanted to get into, and because media is so large and vast, I won't be able to get bored through it, because that's ultimately what my real problem was with working in environments and what have you. I was just getting bored, man.
But you know what's important
day
is
day in, day out, your brain's not working. Yeah. You become depressed. You become agitated. You become exhausted when you come home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Bugger that.
No,
you know,
really.
Who gives a crap? Why do that to yourself? You're far more special than that. You're far more talented. I had this guy on Facebook the other day asking, you know, me for advice. And I told him the piece of advice that was given to me drunkenly at a party one time before I started coming out and making films and doing all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And it was from two guys who just do green screening. Okay, now for big kind of motion picture companies.
Yeah.
And they said, look, just do it. Okay?
Just do it. You don't need anybody's permission. You don't need any bloody training. Experience is the best bloody teacher.
Yes,
and you will become a heck of a lot more talented faster if you keep doing it, okay? There's people out there with heaps of videos of themselves talking about stuff that they never upload. They never get any feedback because they don't want to produce something until it's perfect. And it's foolish because there's no such thing as perfect.
No,
what you can do right now is the perfect time to do it. Okay, that is what perfection is, performing at your peak for the time. Don't try and think to yourself, oh, I have to develop to this certain level before I'm capable of being taken with credibility or whatever. No, you learn that stuff along the way. That's what people are stupid. They go into university and they get themselves like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $175,000 in debt in order to get a job that they freaking hate, that doesn't make them understand anything about the world. And when they come out, the first thing that they want to do is start thinking for themselves. And what? The surprise, surprise, they have to learn how to do it all over again because they got taught to think in a certain way. They didn't get taught to think their own way.
That's
Nobody funny. Can tell you or give you the answer to what you want to do in your life. It's your life.
Yeah.
Figure it out. You've been born. You've been given the most amazing gift in all the universe, the gift of freaking life. You have any idea how many bacterium would kill to have a shot at what you've got?
And you know, excuse me, you're spot on because I was talking with my colleagues and it's all about the here and the now, just here and now. It's your life is now and you can affect it now in your thoughts and not really, you can certainly know about who you are, know about the history, learn about the correct history and know how you've been lied to, but actually be creative right now. And the now actually within a court setting is very important. I've just realized the past and the present. It's all about the present. Stay in the present, if that makes any sense. Listen to Mr. T's. I was just referring, Vinny, to stuff with regard to the work done on TNS. Listen to Vinny carefully. Listen to the Mr. T podcast very carefully. And it's all about staying in the present, in the first hand. Right here, right now. Right here, right now, you know?
Look, this is what I'm talking about. That very sentence. Right here, right now.
Yeah.
Guess what those words are? They are the theme song for the Rugby World Cup!
Oh, really? Do you know spoke...
Do you notice how small a world we live in? Have you noticed what a tangled web we weave? Oh, what a tangled web indeed.
Really?
Everything's really crazy, funny, interesting. How could you ever really get bored unless, of course, somebody was forcing you to not be able to pay attention?
Yes, yes, that's right. Keeping you busy with other... That's right. The woman in the red dress. Actually, look over here. That's right.
Yeah, distractions are deadly. And I believe, to a large extent, that so many people who have woken up to the New World Order get distracted by the fact that there is one and keep listening to the wire for more information and more information and more information.
Mm.
And ironically enough, all that information is telling them to do is to get up and get active. And instead of getting up and getting active, they persist in listening more and more. Look, a human race that we want for the future, okay? Does listening to everybody else rather than listening to yourself have priority, okay? What feels right for you? For me, being a loudmouth, admittedly attention whore, who's also very, very, well, basically I'm a good guy. You know, I really care about everybody. I go out of my way. I make videos and stuff for people that never pay me.
Yeah.
And I just do it for them anyway because, you know, I just think that if you give something, you receive back more. Okay? But, you know, don't give people something you can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
All right? That's what people do often is they burn themselves out because they get overgenerous with their time and they stop taking care of themselves. They don't take breaks. They don't ask people for help. And it takes a village to raise a child. And it takes, as far as I'm concerned, a huge amount of social input to creating a well-adjusted
individual. This means that you need to be hanging out with lots of different people all the time, people who you're unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
This is how I'm kind of able to be a protean to a certain extent. A protean is more or less a social shapeshifter. Because I kind of actually really care about people, I don't really care what their issue is. I don't care if they're a free man on the land or a fluoride opponent or a 9/11 was an inside job advocate, etc., etc. There's umpteen conspiracy theories. I don't care which one it is. I love you anyway, and I want to listen to you, and I want to give you some coverage on my international radio show. And this is what my show really has come to embody, because when you listen to the Vinny Eastwood show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, every single day we'll have somebody different that you've probably never heard of before that has such an interesting story that everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
This is the important realization that I had about the new world order. It is a new world order. There is no escape. The best part about it, I feel, is that for the first time in history, through the internet, through radio, and all the videos that we make as YouTubers and what have you, for the first time ever, we've been capable of, as a globe, recognizing a single enemy that is the New World Order. No army can fight a war on two fronts. The New World Order is having people waking up left, right, and center all over the globe. And you can't fight a war on two fronts, let alone a billion fronts. Okay, it's become what I've come to call the tactic of the cactus. For each and every conspiracy theory, there is a hardcore activist and researcher in your country for whom that conspiracy theory is their expertise and area of interest, who was probably be more than likely prepared to comment on those things, provided you give them the platform to do so. So I started a website called guerrillamedia.co.nz or .nz, guerrillamedia.co.nz. You can go in there, and I've got all these different people who post their own articles, that kind of thing. There's no editorial privilege. They all get to contribute. And we have researchers that are really into their chemtrails, into 9/11, into financial news, into judicial corruption, into local government corruption, etc., etc., etc. And what you find out when you start listening to all these diverse voices that you're unfamiliar with is that you become so much more aware of precisely how the New World Order is working in your own backyard, because they work from a systemic methodology where the repetition of the protocol is what has kept it together, because people do not deviate once they become a billionaire part of the New World Order. They don't know how to learn. We do, on the other hand. The tactic of the cactus is basically like this. For every time that the New World Order attacks us, doesn't matter what point it is on the globe, there is an activist there that is acting as one spine on the back of that cactus. So it doesn't matter where we are hit, the enemy will take damage. Whenever they spit out a lie, we counter it on our own radio, on our own videos. Whenever they give us any attack whatsoever, there is always a defense. So how can you attack something that is defended from all directions and fight a war on a billion fronts? This is what gives me a lot of real hope. This is my thought, is that they can't win, okay?
No, they not just can't.
And here's the reason why they've kept going. It's because, like I said earlier, they've gone insane. Have a look at dictators and tyrants all throughout history. They do really insane things because, like I said, when you get bored, you try to find things to amuse yourself. Let's say you had $500 in your pocket and you wanted to amuse yourself. Your $500 could get you a night in a brothel or something of that kind of debauched nature. Now imagine you had $50 million in your pocket and you wanted to do something exciting. Imagine the upscale occult ceremonies. They become part of these big kind of celebrity sex cults where everybody wears masks, just like on
Yeah. What's it called? Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
There's vampire clubs in Hollywood where these stars come in and drink blood. There is a myriad of wholesale disgusting debauchery. Like, for example, there's a Freemason branch splinter cell called the Jesters. Do you know what a jester's job is? Like the actual word, a jester?
Mally does.
It's the person who entertains the court, darling.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And so guess what these guys are running? Yeah. They're running charitable hospitals where they get all these burned and disabled children into them. And all these children get hired out to district court judges and things like that at an hourly rate.
Yeah.
That is what I'm talking about when I talk about the evil of our society. Most radio show hosts will never, ever even conceive of talking about this kind of stuff on radio because it automatically makes you look a little bit crazy, and simultaneously, people don't want to know. They really don't.
No,
and all the people that I've talked to who go into that deeper cult and the child kidnapping and all of that and go really, really deeply into it, they really do have mental problems. It happens all the time. They have to go to counseling. And this is why only dabble. Okay, I like to have a finger in every pie.
Yeah.
I don't need to know what it feels to be full of that one pie.
Yeah,
I want to dabble so that I know, at least have a warning sign of what's going on, so that if one day I have a kid and they get kidnapped by Child Protective Services, I'm not going to be naive enough to go to the police or go to the judges for help.
Yeah, no, really. It's and don't forget, of course, by no mystery, all these activities take place in extreme secrecy, including the Freemason clubs. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, no one's to know. And they use moral, they point the finger of moral against the people all the time through their legislation, right and wrong and stuff. And these activities, I can be pretty sure, are going on. That's right. Satanism, really. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people want to talk about solutions to these problems. And to be honest, I don't know what the solution is to everything. I mean, I've got a billion ideas, but I don't know which one of them will work. And this is what I found is the limitation to what I can do is how many people will come in and support me, will support what I'm doing. You know, I've been receiving donations from loyal listeners to my radio show, and it's helped me to pay the bills and keep doing what I'm doing. And I feel that unless I've sorted myself out completely and I'm at a level where I don't need anybody's help, that's when I'll be of most help to everybody. Okay?
Yeah.
If you are self-sustaining and you've got enough resources to finance yourself to a high operating standard, that's where you really want to get into. And when we talk about solutions, you've got to think about the problems. Now, the problems on their baseline are compartmentalized, and they're also everywhere. Okay, so therefore, the solutions have to also be compartmentalized and replicated everywhere at the same time in order to defeat the original concept. You see what I'm saying? Like, for example, the judiciary is corrupt, therefore you have to expose the judiciary and reinstate something of honor and respect, you know, kick out the Freemasons with their secret loyalties and all of that. Did you know, I think it's something along the lines of 30,000 or it might have even been 30% of the Britain's police force are Freemasons. Something ridiculous like that.
Right.
You know, how what the hell? What the hell, man?
Certainly, that started, I would say, about 7 years ago, maybe eight now already, but I think 7 or 8 years ago, about a million of men and women, policemen and women, actually made a big protest, a peaceful protest in London. And at the time, Jackie Smith told them to basically F off. And it was really at that point that they were clearly infiltrated at the highest levels from Common Purpose, and those who remain in their positions, maybe who maybe have an understanding of commerce and sovereignty, common law, have been compromised, if you like, with their training, and they know it full well, yet they still do their jobs. They still continue to go to work every day. But for sure, they would know, because I don't know that fact for sure with regard to Freemasonry, but I would imagine it's probably true, because certainly they're acting in such a way that would predict that. There's no honour at all. It's unfortunate. In fact, there's a great deal of thuggery right now, as I can see. Violence.
Thuggery, skullduggery, yeah. And scumbaggery. That's what the police seem to be all about a lot of the time. However, really. Of course, with the proviso that you look at, say, the vast majority of police who get in there for the right reasons. You know, they want to serve their community, and they want to do right, and they want to protect people, and they want to serve the people. Okay, that's what it's about, willing servitude. At the moment, everybody's in servitude, but they're unwilling. Okay, they don't have a reason to do it. That's a good reason. Okay, the reason is, if you don't, you're screwed. Okay, that's not a good reason to get into something. Oh, if I don't do it, I'm screwed. My philosophy is that if you're unhappy in your situation and you don't change it, you're screwed. Okay.
Yes.
There's a myriad of things out there that will upset you, make you really go off your nut, and basically they'll drive you crazy eventually. And you got to let off some steam, man. Honestly, this is the most stressful situation that's widely now socially experienced by conspiracy theorists. It's difficult to talk to your family because your head's full with all this conspiracy junk that they don't know, okay?
Yeah,
and you try to inform them about it, but they can't take it in any more than small bursts. And if you try to, and if you only talk about it, then they don't want to listen to you at all, okay? Conspiracy is not about forcing it onto other people. It's about opening up their minds so that they will question it for themselves. This means that you need to maintain a social cohesion mechanism. What did you have in common with your family members before you became a conspiracy theorist? Didn't you like playing cards with them, Monopoly? Didn't you like sitting down and watching a TV with them or having a nice dinner? Didn't you like talking about the sport or whatever? Those interests are actually still there for you, but you've replaced them with something else. Yeah. I advise you to remember what you agree with all these people you're talking with, and act accordingly.
Yes.
Because it's on the points you agree that you should come together and discuss. And the points that you disagree, you can keep them for another time, okay, when they're more receptive. This is how you can operate very well in the world. And you can operate in a lot of different circles if you use this kind of method that I've come up with. You know, I've got photos of me with Lord Christopher Monckton and Amit Goswami. I get in there because basically I'm just a real smarmy bastard who was born without a sense of shame. Okay? And I have no concern because I'm looking at these people like, these people are great. I want to meet them. I want to shake their hand, and I want to tell them how much I appreciate what they do for our species as a whole. Okay? That's my motivation. I care about everything and everybody to a large extent. My three most favorite words are "I don't know," and my three most hated words are "I don't care."
Yeah. My God, yeah. I don't care. I'm just doing my job. As well. No, I think you're absolutely right on. I really appreciate your input here tonight. I think it's probably clearing things up for a lot of people. You know, you're spot on, really, yeah. I was going to ask you a question.
I've just basically, have you noticed that when you're young and you want to learn stuff, if you're hanging around with people of your own age, you don't learn bugger all? I've just basically been hanging around with people who are like twice, three times my age, who've had immense experiences, and it's through all these different associations that I've began to learn things from people. It's kind of like if you want to make a robot or something like that, and you've got all these different parts that you've got to find and put together in a certain way or what have you, and some of them are interchangeable and they work different ways, some of them don't work, some of them are faulty, etc. That's kind of what
being a social person is about is essentially you're trying to build yourself, okay? Yeah. Because by absorbing other people's knowledge, by absorbing their experience, you get to enrich your own view of the world, and you get to be able to make more decisions with more clarity, with more information. Okay, that's all that it really is. Just a big data mining procedure. You can learn a million things off people if you ask the right questions.
That's right.
And that was something I found quite fun when I was ambushing politicians with a camera, asking them those real tough questions. You know, those yes or no answers that you can't wriggle away from and not look dodgy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, for example, this super city that I was talking about, how we got all our city privatized with $28 billion worth of private assets. The people who actually set the process in motion were the previous government. And now here they are deploring how horrible. Oh, well, we wouldn't have done it that way. You started the process, scumbag. Shut up. So you approach them with a camera.
It's psychopathic nature, isn't it?
Seeing as you're so against the super city, how about you give us our right to say no to it? And when you ask a direct question like that, they will give one of three typical responses. One, they'll lie, which means they're dodgy. Two, they'll dodge the question, which means they're dodgy.
Yeah.
Or three, they'll say something honest, which means you can potentially milk them for more information and even be able to forge some kind of amicable, nice, professional relationship based on courtesy, as I've done with many of the politicians here in New Zealand who know me by name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're always happy to talk to me. And, you know, I've had some really nice donations, man. Like this one guy gave me a donation that allowed me to buy a professional microphone for my radio and these two Bluetooth wireless mics, so I can capture audio from up to 50 meters away from somebody directly
fantastic.
Into the camera, which was also donated as well, kind of thing. People support me because they see what I'm doing is absolutely important for the community. Because if you want to have a look at New Zealand and you really want to look at it with poise and think to yourself, okay, where is the alternative media in New Zealand? There isn't one. Okay,
yeah,
who would you point a stick at is probably actually trying to do something about that situation. The stick points at nobody but me. All right. And this isn't me being proud. This is me being really ashamed. That out of 4 million of some of the most creative, nice, hardworking, diligent, honorable citizens that I have in my country, I'm the only one who decided to devote his life to doing something about the fact that they're all being lied to, you know?
Exactly.
And in this particular platform, okay, like doing radio and TV and a website, and working on general YouTube videos and showing up to public meetings and making sure that all these activists who devote their lives to informing people actually get some bloody coverage. Because it's all very nice and well saying the truth, but if you say the truth in a forest and nobody's around to hear it, does anybody get enlightened? No.
You don't
get bloody enlightened at all.
And
bugger the TV. TV gets broadcast once, okay?
Yeah.
On YouTube, if you have that public meeting, it can be watched an infinite amount of times, okay? I've had public meetings that have changed my entire life and worldview where there haven't been more than half a dozen people in there. And when I upload those videos, they get hundreds and hundreds of hits. So the mere fact that I took responsibility for the fact that we don't have any bloody media, just doing it, okay? I'm not skilled, I'm not trained, I just get it done because everybody else can't.
Yeah, no,
okay?
That's why. Can I just say, that's why I'm a host on TNS, and TNS was created solely on the basis of donations for the reason of waking people up so that they can learn how to find a solution to these problems. There's a whole different range of hosts bringing a lot of different information incoming to this station, and it is a very tight, wonderful, hardworking group really tremendous folk. It's completely open to everybody. I just wanted to drop in there, actually, because also I do have some documentaries I wanted to run on defending yourself against psychopaths. It's 37 minutes long, and as it turns out, although I'd love to speak all day long, at 12 midnight our time over here, Vin, there's a Freeman Jack will be coming on with some music, rub-a-dub music, if you like, you know, just something after midnight. So I'm going to try and get good at producing my shows and sort of talk now off air and go to some maybe some sound bites with regard to defending yourself against the psychopath, which I think would be useful to the listeners, if you don't mind. But you're so clear. It's made. You have a great ability to explain yourself. I think it's absolutely wonderful, really. It's very clear.
Oh, and that's another important point. If you ever have a problem with me, come and talk to me and ask me to explain myself.
Yeah.
I'm a real smooth bastard. And sure enough, you'll wind up either laughing, because often people come up to me angry, and you know, I've never heard of these people. I don't know what they're talking about. And they're angry with me for some reason. And they just ask me to explain myself. Yeah. I do. And they go, oh, okay. I'm no longer angry. In fact, that's kind of funny. And I say, that's what happens when you talk and allow somebody to explain themselves. You figure out what they're all about.
There is another Vinny here, Vincent Byrne, the show host of TNS. And he reminds me a little bit about yourself, actually. He's exceptionally skilled, I think, at explaining himself, explaining to others the court system. And he's very charming and humorous as well. And I think people,
awesome.
You know, it is. And you're right, a conversation, a face-to-face meeting, it can just solve so much in just a short period of time through communication.
Why do people break up five-year relationships via text? Are you effing kidding?
Jesus, yeah, no, really. Or you're fired.
This is why relationships break up in the first freaking place, man, is people stop talking to each other. The more you talk to each other, the more you understand and accept them. The less you talk to them, the less you know them, and the less you're prepared to put up with them. If you've got a problem with your missus, start talking to her. And don't tell her, oh, I've got a problem with you and you need to do this or whatever. Just tell her how you feel, because that's the only thing that you actually really know. You don't know how she feels, because women are crazy. No man will ever understand it.
Yeah, yeah. If you said you understood your woman, then you would be quite unique. I know that's not. But
No, you'd be a liar. You'd be a liar. All right.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
You cannot understand the ununderstandable, if that's even a word.
Yeah, they're on there. I don't know. But, well, I bet I won't say anything. I'll get myself in trouble. But, it's good if you can have a partner, wife, a girlfriend, a wife, that does trust your instincts, does trust your humor, your knowledge. I'm just talking generally, that can actually stand by you.
Baby, baby, doesn't seem so much to do here. Think back to this time last year. Good times, good times, good times. Don't you think we stayed far too long? Don't you think the color has gone? Get on a plane, it can't be wrong. Moving on, moving on. Red light blinking in the twilight, tracing out a path right out of here and now. Red light blinking in the twilight, tracing out a path right out of here and now. Baby, baby, I think it's time we move on now. Baby, baby, I think it's time we move.
Happy life, you've got to make sure that those people around you that are in your life are happy too, okay? Because if not, they'll bring you down. That's why you got to do things for people, and for those people who don't return the favor, realize that they are usurping your energy and are not worth your time and ultimately are a waste of it. And don't waste your time. You're too bloody special, and there's not enough of it to really go round. And on a final thought, there's only one moment throughout all of history, and it's this moment. It's right here, right now. That moment has existed from when the universe began, and it will stretch on through eternity. So it means that you are sharing this one moment with everybody that has ever existed and ever will. Yeah. Isn't that an encouraging thought?
I hope people heard that, because I would appear to be having a lot of problems on the streams at the moment going out, because that was a very lovely thought, yeah. We're okay on the streams at the moment. God, I hope people heard that. That was very inspiring. Thank you. Thank you very much. Before you go, can I just ask you, do you mind if I bother you again at some point for TNS, or would it be good maybe to get on your show? I mean, you know... You're always welcome here, Vinny.
Well, all of the above, you know, the feeling's mutual.
No, really, it's a good lift-up. It's clear, it's precise, and maybe there are some people who are tuned into TNS who actually had never heard of you before, but they certainly know who you are now. And I've promoted your site. Go ahead and promote your site again, if you want to.
It's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's THEVINNY, because it's the most important question. Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my day, show.com, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. If apparently if you propagandize people and you repeat things three times, it sticks in their mind better. So thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Well, just as well.
Also on American Freedom Radio. In fact, we'll be going live. My show will be going live in about 3 minutes' time right on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So you can check into that there.
Okay. Great. Now, well, God bless you, and thank you very, very much for coming on to TNS Now today. It's really made me think and lifted me up. It's tremendous. I hope it's done the same for the listeners as well. I do appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah, but conveniently, I'm arrogant, and it will always go to my head.
So, should I put money on the All Blacks now to win, or should I just not give them a monkeys? What do you reckon?
Well, by all means, make a donation to the New Zealand government, because it's got a $1 and $30 rate of return. So, you know, you're bound to lose at least $29 per $30 that you put in.
There you go. Yeah, that's true. Complete waste of money, isn't it? Oh my. Anyway, well, thank you very much, Vinny. I'm going to push on to something else. I'm going to finish up at midnight anyway. So it's gone so quickly, the time. I hope we talk again. I hope we do, you know.
Yeah. All right, man. Definitely, definitely keen to talk again, and we'll invite you on my show when I'm back from break on it.
Oh, you mean later on today? I mean, yeah, tonight, of course.
No. I mean, I've got a, what's it called? I'm actually on a break right now from my show, and I have my former co-host, Will Ryan, filling in for me today. And I'll be on break for a further 2 weeks.
Well, listen,
I've got a lot of video projects to finish and such.
Because I never thought
people have been calling for that I haven't been able to do because I've had a radio show to do.
Oh, wow. Well, I do appreciate your time. I would imagine since you're more organized, you know, you are sought after at this time and busy, but you're helping people, so it's great, really. And yeah, I totally forgot. I wonder if this podcast will be put out. There's an awful lot of podcasts kept for TNS, and maybe this is one worthy of putting out again. I don't know, maybe. Or you can use it, you know, if you want to as well. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, take care. And thanks very much indeed for that. Okay?
Thanks, mate.
God bless.
Okay,
bye-bye.
See you again.
Bye-bye. Well, there you are. It could well be a first for TNS. I think it might be. That was the great Vinny Eastwood. He's young. He's full of energy. He's got humor. And he's certainly clear. If you weren't aware of him before, you certainly are now. I want to go straight into, I've got 1 hour before Freeman Jack, where we'll come on for some slow tunes, I think. And I've got some things I wanted to play for you here. We have an angel of the, he works in the background and keeps sending some stuff just through the waves to be played on air. And I wanted to play these. I've not heard these clips before, and it would be easily, mid-60s or something. And this is John Lennon speaking in some interview, very casually, not as a Beatle, clearly, but just as himself. And I can just play these back-to-back. I wonder if you can hear these.
Our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. If anybody can put on paper what our government and the American government, etc., and the Russian, Chinese, what they are actually trying to do, you know, and how, what they think they're doing, I'd be very pleased to know what they think they're doing. I think they're all insane, you know, but I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. You know, that's what's insane about it.